This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three.
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Hey, thank you so much. Lawrence Scott here with Tim Roy, and we are joined by Troy Murphy, and it's a great story that we wanted to share here as Troy's playing days ended. He goes back to school to finish a college degree. He had started, obviously, at Notre Dame, but ended at Columbia University, and then a little time with the league, and also now something that's very special, Sweven Wealth, a company that's helping consult with folks who need financial planning, but then the revenues brought in are helped shared with nonprofits. And Troy, thank you so much for taking some time with us. Explain to us kind of just the basis of why you created Sweven.
Well, thanks for having me. I guess the basis for creating Sweven was that I saw during my playing career a number of teammates, opponents that really struggled with their finances, managing their money, and it was something that myself, coming out of Notre Dame at after my junior year, was something that I was ill prepared to deal with. And just being able to manage not only the money, but also the expectations, the relationships, family members, friends, etc. All those things were things that I thought that I could really help various players with, and that's what I'm really trying to do.
You know, Troy, it's really, I think it's great what you're doing because, you know, we've seen this in the NBA and in other sports. And I remember I was sitting down with, it was on a bus ride to somewhere. Terry Cummings was talking to Jason Caffey. Jason Caffey had just signed this huge deal with the Warriors. And Terry Cummings kept telling him that the most important word he could have is no. Because, what people don't understand is when, if a player comes from a background like that, all of a sudden family and friends look at him like almost like an ATM. And so they're going to keep coming and coming back to that athlete to ask them about that. Have you heard similar stories with some of the people you've interacted with Sweven? And is this as big of a thing as I think it is?
Yeah, Tim, that's a great point. That really is. It's a huge thing. I think the expectations of family members and friends are something that they're very difficult for guys to deal with. It's a way of sometimes friends will come at guys, people from their family saying they have business ideas or just the expectation that when you make it to the NBA, you're supposed to do these different things for various people in your life. And it's, the ability to say no is something that, unfortunately, a lot of guys don't have, but it's something that you absolutely need. It's a necessary skill. A lot of times guys pawn it off on a financial advisor, but the ability to have those difficult conversations and be able to say no to some of those people that you're close to in your life, I think, while it's tough at the time, I think it strengthens relationships and it's actually better for you from a financial perspective down the road.
You know, one of the most generous things about what you're doing with Sweven is making sure that the revenues that are coming in are redirected to programs that are currently at the high school level. I mean, there's a school in Wisconsin and another school in Philadelphia where you're helping with financial literacy, but programs that were already in place that you're helping support. What has been going on in those two different schools exactly?
So that was actually the most difficult aspect of putting this whole business together was finding appropriate donation recipients. So I wanted to get a more urban recipient program and then a more suburban program. So I found one, as you kind of alluded to, out in Wisconsin. And what they do is they focus on different charities. So they'll give, each student will get a little bit of a donation and they'll make the donation to a specific charity that might be near and dear to their heart. And they decide on that charity based upon the amount of money that goes into that specific cause. So they're looking for charities that donate the largest amount per dollar into actually helping the cause rather than going to administrative fees or things like that. So it gives the students an idea of things to look for, a way to become a more savvy consumer and whatnot. And then in Philadelphia, there's a program that helps kids. It gives them jobs within the school, whether it's starting a peer counseling group or being involved in some other way. And what they do is they're they're able to open up bank accounts at a local bank in Philadelphia, and they get, you know, small paychecks. And then by the end of their high school career, they've accumulated a certain amount of money, and they're able to use that money, whether it's to, you know, pay for college or, you know, a student loan or something of that nature. So I think it gives them the skills in a way that they're kind of, they're becoming more, you know, savvy and educated as a consumer. And it's a time in their lives when they're going to be faced with a number of difficult decisions. You know, they're getting their first credit card after high school and managing bills and things like that. So it gives them some skills that they're going to use right away once they finish school.
Now, when you went back to school and you had got your bachelor's degree, then you worked for the NBA. Was this idea already in place, or when you were working with the NBA, is that where this idea started to formulate?
You know, so it was, I would always go through the kind of education that I went through my career and trying to make the right decisions and have the, you know, find the people that were the most appropriate for what I was looking to do financially myself. And then going back to Columbia, there were a number of kids in my classes that would ask me financial questions, kids that were econ majors and things like that. And they would want to know, you know, how come there were so many athletes that would end up spending all their money. And they would tell me stories about friends that they had that had startups that ended up doing similar things. So I found out it wasn't necessarily just an athlete thing. And it was a thing that, you know, encompassed all sorts of sudden wealth recipients. And then when I went to work for the NBA, I was working in a program that assigned me 5 different teams. And when I would go in to see these different teams, I had the benefit of sitting through some of the financial literacy programs. And I found out that a lot of the players, the current players, they had the same questions, or they had the same kind of concerns that I had, you know, experienced during my career, and that my teammates when I was playing would ask. So it was the same questions just a decade later. So I felt there was an opportunity there to really provide some sort of value and some sort of assistance to these guys.
Well, take us a little bit further here and help me understand what some of those questions that you were hearing were, and really some of the concerns that over time you got the basis of knowledge to help alleviate for folks as you've started doing some advising.
Well, I mean, the major thing it really comes down to initially is being able to, you know, with Tim's question earlier, is, you know, how to manage relationships at the beginning. So it's a relationship of how to deal with, you know, a parent that expects, you know, you want to do right by your parents and the people around you, and you want to help them out, but there are certain limits. And I think guys aren't understanding what some of those limits might be. They might not understand how fleeting, you know, the length of a career might be. The average career is not, you know, 12, 15 years. So guys have to manage, like, this contract and the amount of money they have right now is all they're going to get. And they have to make decisions like, you know, this is the amount of money that they're going to have for the rest of their lives. So to help them avoid making big mistakes early, I think is a key thing that we try to do. You know, not making big ticket purchases that are, you know, things that are kind of depreciating assets. Cars are, you know, a lot of times fall into that category. So trying to get guys to really put the brakes on their spending initially, come up with a plan, be able to manage expectations and entitlement of others. And, you know, I think all this comes into kind of an attitude of proactivity, where they're proactive, where they're working with somebody. And then eventually the idea is to eventually get to the place where you can kind of manage this yourself, and you understand what's going on with your money, where your budget is, what amount of money you're spending a month, what's coming in, and you can kind of take it from there.
Well, Troy, you, of course, played for the Warriors, drafted by the Warriors, and you arrived in that first year. It was kind of a turbulent year. It had a mix of some veterans and a lot of young players. What do you remember about that time and you know, coming to the team with, you know, with Jay Rich and Gilbert Arenas, and I still have a picture somewhere, the three of you. But, you know, what are your memories of your first year in the NBA?
I think kind of what you described, it was kind of a transitional period. I remember we had Dave Cowens initially as our coach, and then it was Brian Winters, and we really didn't know. There was there were veteran guys that were playing at the beginning of the year, and then by the end of the year, Gilbert was the starting point guard, and you could see that the future, he was the future of that position. And it was kind of a changing of the guard. You knew that there were, like, we had our three draft picks, and we were kind of integrating into the team, and it was an odd mix of older players and veterans, and then kind of the younger group that was being mixed in. So it was definitely a transitional year. But you learn a lot, you know, being able to play for those two different coaches, and then being exposed to the different habits of veterans. You see why some guys are successful and why some guys might not be as successful. So it was a learning experience, to say the least.
You know, part of your NBA career spent in Indiana with the Nets in New Jersey, some of the Celtics, Lakers, Mavericks. When you think back to the different spots and how some of what has helped inform what you're doing now by being in a variety of NBA cities, what other experiences do you think back from your playing days that kind of would say, well, you know, this is why I am doing what I'm doing now?
I think just seeing guys struggle, you know, NBA players are in such a fortunate position to be able to make a large amount of money. And the idea is to be able to do good things with that money, to get to a certain place where you can make money and you can use it as a tool to kind of fuel what you want to do and to help other people. And I think a lot of times some of the places that I would go to, some of these teams, you would always have guys that were chasing a final deal or, you know, just have mismanaged their money and just haven't been able to really get to a place where they could help others. And they were frankly in a place where they really couldn't help themselves. So it's heartbreaking to see. And you see these guys and they should be set up for life, but they've kind of not only, you know, made poor decisions, but they've been taken advantage of to a certain extent. And, you know, like I said, it's heartbreaking to see.
Troy, I'm going to circle back to that Warrior team, because as we all know, the rules changed after the Warriors were unable to sign Gilbert Arenas to a big free agent deal. My thought has always been that if you had the right coach, and maybe it was Eric Musselman, maybe it was going to be, you know, Mike Montgomery, but if you had the right coach and that team was able to grow a little bit with yourself, Jay Rich, Antoine, Gilbert, I think that team, I don't know if it would have been a title-winning team, but I think it would have been a really good team if you had added the right pieces. What was your thought on that?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. That was a big blow when Gilbert went to Washington. I think it was the type of thing where he was really coming into his own as a real top scorer. And then you had Jay Rich and Antoine, who were, you know, formidable scorers as well. And I think that that team, especially keeping Gilbert around, because, you know, we all saw what he ended up being, you know, multi-time All-Star and all that. You know, I think that team would have been really good. And guys like playing with each other, and it's a shame that that team wasn't able to stick together and see what could have been, for sure.
You flash forward to, you know, the current time period, the past several seasons for the Warriors, as you've watched this Warriors team initially. Let's even go back to maybe like the 12-13 season, as you saw Stephen Curry coming into his own and Klay Thompson emerging on the scene. What were you thinking as you were watching this Warriors team about what you had experienced being in the Bay Area with a fan base that's immense and tremendous and so encouraging, and then what this whole thing became? What were some of your impressions of the most recent Warriors years?
I mean, it's, you know, the fans deserve to see a, you know, a great product out there. The fans, when we were winning 20, 25 games, were coming out and cheering for us every night. So the fact that they have this type of team to root for now is fantastic. As far as the style of play, the Warriors have really kind of revolutionized the way the game is played. I mean, Steph and Klay with the way they shoot, and the utilization of the three-point shot has been something that, I mean, the majority of the league has really tried to copy, and the way they play is they play the right way. They're unselfish. They spread the floor. It's really a great type of basketball to watch, rather than, you know, a generation earlier was more defensive and, you know, slowed, a slower pace where, you know, guys were beating up on each other. It's just it's a beautiful product to watch, and the way they play, distribute the ball and shoot is really fun.
Just think about it. If you were born a few years later, you'd have been shooting threes.
I know. Amazing. It's great. Just launching them.
It's like the whole league has a green light right now. I will say this, and I've said this many times, Troy. I really think the Warriors were fortunate to get a guy that's changed the game a little bit in Steph Curry, and I'm curious to see. And I don't get to watch a lot of youth basketball, but I'm curious to see in a few years if we have a whole bunch of kids who really know how to dribble and shoot because of the influence that Steph's having on the kids across the country.
Yeah, I think if that's the case, I think that's a great thing for basketball because the way he plays and the skill level, it's a great thing to watch. He's the best shooter that's played in the league, and you know, I look forward to watching him for many, many more years.
So one more thing from me here, Troy, and I think back to this article I read as they were chronicling how you had gone back to school at Columbia, and there was this quote that you had I thought was so endearing, and now, you know, I would kind of almost want like Eric Housen to reach out and make sure you're stocked up for life, but you said the thing you had missed most about your playing days in the NBA was the socks. like having those NBA socks. I thought that was one of the funniest things I've ever read in the sports pages. What about the socks?
The socks are just, they're, you can get them now. I think you can buy them, but you have to buy a specific type. I'm not sure which ones they are, but just the, you know, they're soft. As a tall guy, you never really have an opportunity to have the socks that are really long. These NBA socks are soft. They're just perfect. It's just perfect quality. And then, as you mentioned, to have a guy like Eric Housen out there, I mean, he just, you have just the gear was amazing. And, you know, you get used to the socks. So now that I'm done, it's, you know, back to the normal socks. It's definitely not the same thing.
No question about that. I'm wearing a pair as we speak, just so you know.
love it.
I have to ask you, give me a couple things that stand out to your career. And I've always maintained that if you play over 10 years in this league, and, you know, it's the best league in the world with the best athletes in the world, if you play over 10 years, I think that's a great career. So congratulations on the career. And maybe a couple things that stood out to you. And we appreciate your time today.
Yeah, no, I think just being able to play, I played the first, 10 years of my career for two teams, the Warriors and the Pacers. And those two organizations, I think, are really great organizations. The Warriors to come up with gave me an opportunity to play early. And the support system that was in place at that time gave me confidence. And to be with a guy that was the GM, like Chris Mullin, was just such a great experience for me and helped me grow not only as a player but as a person. So just the opportunity to be around a guy like that. And then some of the other teams that I played for, I really had the opportunity to play for some really good organizations, whether it was the Pacers, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Mavericks. These were all winning type organizations that showed me a little bit, you know, how to do things the right way, the way they treated people, the way the expectations that they had for their players, the way to conduct yourself professionally. These were all things that I think away from basketball really helped me develop as a person. So being around the Warriors for that amount of time at the beginning and kind of getting a foundation, being around Chris Mullin and then playing for these different teams, I think helped me become a professional later on in my career.
What you are doing with Swevin Wealth and not only helping with financial literacy, but also passing it along through charitable efforts is amazing. Thank you so much for sharing those stories and taking a trip down memory lane with us. Troy Murphy, thank you for being part of Warrior Sound.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it, guys.
This has been Warrior Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!